And I call this meeting of Senate Resources Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 3:31 p.m. on Wednesday, April 27, 2022, and also that we have a quorum. Present today are Senator Stevens, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Kawasaki, Senator Keel, Senator Machicki, and myself, Senator Rivak. Please silence your cell phones. Staffing the committee today are Intimayo Harbison, our committee aide, LIO moderator Nate Williams, and Juliana Singh from Records. Today's agenda consists of two items, SB 227, State Ownership of Submerged Lands, and SB 230, Trapper Cabins, Fee for Construction, and we'll jump right into it. First up today is SB 227. This is the third time this bill has been before the Resources Committee. Last time this bill was before the committee, there were concerns from members as well as from the department about what changes to the bill in the current CS would have. The committee has worked with members, the Department of Law, the legislative legal team, and have prepared a new committee substitute for SB 227 that fixes potential oversight in the current CS. With that said, I would entertain a motion, Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate Resources Committee adopt a committee substitute for Senate Bill 227 Resources, version 32-GS2561/I-Indigo as our working document.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I will object for the purposes of discussion. Mr. Intimayo Harbison, please put yourself on the record and walk us through these changes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate Resources Committee. For the record, Intimayo Harbison, Senate Resources Committee aide, staff to Senator Rivak. Before you is a CS that would address the concerns raised during the last committee meeting regarding the previous version of the CS, version B. The changes from the previous version to the current version I being considered are as follows. On page 1, lines 8 and 9, it is amended to read navigable water within the boundaries of and adjacent to federal areas. Page 2, line 2 and through 3, is amended with similar language, navigable water as listed in that Alaska statute 3804063. And that's, again, references within the boundaries of and adjacent to federal areas. Same thing occurs on page 2, lines 11 through 12. On page 3, line 4, we strike the word or. On page 3, line 6, we add the word or following the punctuation there. On page 3, line 7, we insert C, other federal areas. On page 4, line 1, we amend it to read navigable water within the boundaries of and adjacent to federal areas, as we've done before. On page 4, line 11, we amend section 7. On this, we are amending the subsection 1 that we amended before in version B to include the term boatable. So now we are further amending that to include at any time during the open water season by customary and traditional watercraft. And on page 5, lines 1 through 2, we again amend that section to read that is within the boundaries of and adjacent to federal areas. And that is the summary of the changes between versions B and version I of Senate Bill 227. And I'm available for any further questions, and I believe that there is somebody from the department as well.
Thank you, Inti. Are there any questions? Senator Kawasaki.
Thank you. And this is probably for for somebody from legal, but the boatable at any time on page 4, line 11, when we talk about whether it's boatable, sometimes things are boatable right after breakup, but then definitely the high water mark is definitely lower than a certain period, and I just wanted to hear comments on that from drafters.
Or whoever's on.
Yeah. Are you there, sir? Please put yourself on the record.
Yes, sir. Through the chair, my name is Ron Upsall, Assistant Attorney General, Department of Law. The reason that we went with at any time was the intent of the original change was to make it less restrictive. The issue with boatable during the open water season, as it had been previously amended, was it could be read to imply boatable for the entire open water season, which was not the intent of that modification. So at any time captures that. The original language was for one third of the open water season, and Department of Fish and Game thought that was too restrictive. The case law really doesn't define how much of the open water season needs to be available for boatability. And I think that would still be developed more through the case law. We just didn't want to codify something that was much more restrictive than it needed to be. And as that case gets developed and that law develops, that should answer the question on how much of the open water season needs to be boatable.
So just through the chair, just to clarify, then this is more permissive and less restrictive.
Yes, again, this is Ron Upsall for the record. That's the intent, yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Upsall. Other questions? Yes, Senator Von Imhoff.
Are we asking questions about the particular CS, and are we going to have an option to ask questions after we, if and when we adopt the CS?
Sure, yes. Okay. Yes, this is about the CS.
All right. Correct. We'll wait till after we adopt it.
Okay. All right. Seeing no other questions, I'll remove my objection. Are there any other objections to adopting the CS? All right, seeing none, SB 227 version India is adopted as our working document and is now before the committee. Are there any further questions or discussions on this bill from committee members? Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. So this could be for the person from DNR. On page 5, line 5, it talks about the database SWFA number, which you've provided in the bulk of this bill for these different locations. Is that is the SWFA link on the DNR website so someone could take this bill, input the numbers 0011, for example, and Rainbow Creek would come up, and would it show up on a map?
Mr. Walker,
Yes. Thank you. For the record, this is Jim Walker with the Alaska Department of Natural Resources. Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, that is going to be available. It is being worked up from a technical standpoint right now. The files are maintained at the Department of Natural Resources, and when you have doubt with regards to the named water bodies, they do relate to the actual depictions on the state NAV waters map already. For those unnamed water bodies that are contained in the legislation, there is particular geographic descriptive information to allow you to line that up with what is depicted on the state NAV waters map. The exact numbers are being added. I hope that's responsive to your question.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. So it says you said that the SWFA will be available soon, and the only thing is I did have someone call, and they just asked about Big Lake. So Big Lake, of course, that seems to be a very common name. It could be any number of lakes around Alaska, and it's on page 9, line 8, Big Lake 0100. So is that the – which Big Lake is that, and where can someone find that out?
All right. Yes, through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, I am having a bit of trouble getting on the exact page that you are. Bear with me for one moment, please. Could you provide that site again, please, which one you're referring to?
Yes. So it's on page 9, line 8. It's Big Lake. And Big Lake is a very popular destination in the Matsu Valley. And I think there were some people that were just curious if it was that particular Big Lake or perhaps another named Big Lake, and where could someone go to confirm that?
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, specifically, if you will look at the list at the end of page 8, beginning of page 9, the Big Lake that is referenced that you are mentioning is found within Denali National Park and Preserve. That is the specific Big Lake that lines up with that number. The Big Lake that in the Matsu Valley that is a popular destination, you know, the Big Lake, quote unquote, that lake is not covered in this because it does not fall within a federal area. You know, these are only concerned with waters located within federal CSUs and other federal areas statewide. So if you see on the reference that that Big Lake is the Big Lake that is found in Denali National Park and Preserve by the subheading, and then if you ultimately go to the map, it will be tied by number to the specific one as well. As I was indicating earlier, if you go to page, for example, 11, you will see various unnamed lakes and unnamed rivers. Those have more particularized geographic descriptions within the statute itself, as well as on the state nav waters map that will allow you to pinpoint with accuracy what unnamed lake is being referred to there.
Okay, so one more follow-up.
Follow-up.
Thank you. So thank you for this. So just to confirm, the SWFA public site on your website will be available, you said, soon. Can you describe soon?
If someone has a specific question, they can call right now. And they can call me personally or anyone on my team, and we'll get that information. In terms of when the link is going to be established, that would put, when you plug in SWFA63, for example, and it would bring it up on the map, I can only say that it would probably be a matter of weeks before that gets done at the latest. But if anybody has any specific questions about whether something is in or off the list, they can call me at any time.
Okay. And then I just have one other question.
Question.
Thank you. So we're describing boatable or navigable, if you will, in this CS. How does that navigable water being used or navigable water being described, i.e. boatable here in this bill, compare with the federal government's definition of navigable? Do they align or are they different?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, these line up exactly with the federal court decisions, the federal case law, the case law that has been decided, that would include our Mosquito Fork decision, would include the Gulkana River decision, would include the John Sturgeon decision. The definitions of boatability and navigability contained within this bill line up exactly.
Okay, the last question. So thank you. I actually do appreciate that clarification. So it does say customary and traditional watercraft, including poling boats, skin boats, motorized and non-motorized, inflatable rafts, canoes, motorized river boats, airboats, jet boats, and other watercraft? Does it say that?
Yeah. Let's see.
This is on page 4, line 14.
Right. Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, I'm with you. It says customary and traditional watercraft include poling boats, skin boats, motorized and non-motorized inflatable rafts, canoes, motorized river boats, airboats, jet boats, and other and other watercraft in use anywhere in the United States at the date the state achieves statehood.
The federal case law states that?
The Golcana River decision specifically states that.
Thank you. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? Senator Kawasaki.
Thank you. Thanks for being online. So there's a lot of citations, and I was actually wrong. It is almost 80 pages of different different tracts of land. What happens if one of these is wrong? Just one of them is wrong, like just off by a little bit.
Through the chair, Senator Kawasaki, pursuant to Senate Bill 227, Department of Natural Resources work continues, and we are required at the beginning of every legislative session after enactment to come forward and present to the legislature suggested waters that should be included in this listing as work continues in United States Fish and Wildlife Service areas within the Chugach National Forest and within BLM lands. But that obligation is also upon us to amend any of these descriptions consistent with developing case law or our developing work. For instance, if we were involved in litigation and we prevailed in that litigation and we prevailed to a much greater extent upstream, where a federal court, for example, agreed with us that the river was navigable much farther up into the headwaters than what is described in the statute as it's written right now, we would be coming back before the legislature saying that that needs to be extended. It needs to be amended to include those additional headwaters. Likewise, if we lost in some litigation, we would be coming back before the court saying, before the legislature saying, as a result of this litigation, the entry that is SWFA number, XYZ needs to be removed from the list because the court has declared it non-navigable. I suspect that as we add U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service areas, and as well as the BLM lands and the Chugach National Forest to this, this bill will expand. It will also be amended, I suspect, from time to time, and that work will be going on for several sessions, in my estimation.
And, just a follow-up. Thank you for that explanation. I appreciate it. I did have sort of a different sort of question. I'll give you an example. There was a bill relating to the Creamers Field Wildlife Refuge and an expansion. And so there was a bill that I introduced that would expand the boundaries, and we got – and it actually came from the governor's office, but they let us carry it because it was our area. We added some area, and we had citations and everything, Section 7 and 8. Basically, just exactly like it's written here, they ended up finding out that it was the wrong area after it had gone through the process, passed unanimously, and then the governor had to veto the bill, and so we had to come back in a future year to pass it again. What would happen if one of these citations is actually wrong?
Through the chair, Senator Kawasaki, since we have a number in here, I suspect that we could do line item amendments going forward. If one of these descriptions is wrong and it is brought to our attention, we would, at the next session of the legislature, immediately bring that before the legislature's attention so that specific line item could be corrected. I do not think, since this is such a comprehensive bill, that, a mistake, whether it be a Scrivener's error or some type of substantive mistake with regards to any one of these is going to invalidate the legislation as a whole. So I do expect that there will be some ongoing work, And the example I would draw is with the RS-2477 statute, upon which this legislation is generally based. As you will recall, in that effort that took place back in the 1990s, they identified certain trails that the state of Alaska was asserting ownership, management, and control over. And it referred to a number, an RST number, which is a file number that is maintained by the Department of Natural Resources for particular RS-2477 trails. Over the years, those files have expanded. There has been litigation on some of those trails. And so all of those minor adjustments based upon the evolving nature of this work have not worked to invalidate the enabling statute by which the various RS-2477s were, the grants were accepted by the state, and the state asserted ownership, management, and control. So I don't think that a particular error with any one single line item is going to necessarily or will in any situation invalidate the statute as a whole.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Walker. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Walker. Other questions? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe just a general question broadly on waters that the state controls in what are otherwise federal areas. Is the department going to need specific legislation to partner, if there's a shared management plan that would enable, some kind of infrastructure investment by the feds or some kind of visitor improvement that Alaskans could enjoy? Are we going to have to do those one by one, bill by bill, or does DNR have the ability to partner up in management decisions if we choose?
Through the chair, Senator Keel. The department has that power and wants to exercise that power. It is good for all of the citizens of Alaska, for adjoining landowners who have management and control authority to work together for the public good whenever possible. That is the intent, and that is the powers that are presently reside within the Department of Natural Resources. So, for example, if a federal agency were to approach the Department of Natural Resources and say, we have this great idea for making a visitor's experience to our uplands that we own to enhance that experience, and that our plan is to utilize some type of dock or boat, a ramp or something along those lines, we feel that would help us to enhance, the public's enjoyment of these opportunities. What do you think of that? And I think in an appropriate situation, the department would be very receptive and would work with them closely to facilitate and enable and expedite the permitting process whenever possible. The key, however, is recognition of each other's authority and each other's jurisdiction, and recognizing that, if we wish to do something on federal uplands, we need to follow their process and seek their permits and authorizations to do so in the same way that we would expect them. If they wish to use state submerged lands, apply and follow the state processes, which we would work closely with them in doing to accomplish their ends. I see that this legislation, if passed, is going to foster better partnership between federal and state authorities, because as many have observed, good land management only follows a clear determination of where boundaries are. The public needs to know when they're on state land, and the public needs to know when they're on federal land. And legislation such as is pending before this committee helps clarify these issues in the public's mind, making partnership between federal and state authorities much more likely and much more easy to follow, and also will work to educate and assist the public in better enjoying the natural resources of the state.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that DNR has that power, and that there are folks in the department who are interested in those kind of partnerships. I'm not sure the bill has anything to do with it. I think what those kind of partnerships take is people willing to do the work that was described. I've described my sense of this bill so far. But, you know, we saw yesterday behavior that absolutely runs 180 degrees opposite to what was just described by the department. You don't get to partnerships, you don't get to investments by snarling and spitting and talking to nobody local. This bill is kind of a non-issue one way or another. I think good behavior and bad behavior are what's going to move the ball. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator Keel, observation I would make along those lines is I received a call personally this morning from the refuge manager at the Tetlin Refuge, which is part of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And the refuge manager referenced the press conference yesterday and asked me what he needs to do to get infrastructure that is located within his refuge, that is on state submerged lands, into compliance with state law, to make sure that any time that it is constructed on state submerged lands, that they have gone through the necessary state process. We had a good conversation. I involved others within our northern regional office to assist him in identifying what permits and authorizations will be needed. And we are going to be working expeditiously with them to get everything that is identified into compliance.
Thank you, Mr. Walker. Other questions?
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the committee substitute for Senate Bill 227 Resources, version 32-GS2561/Indigo, be moved from committee with attached committee fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Well, thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Are there objections? Seeing none, SB 227 version India is moved from committee with attached committee fiscal notes and individual recommendations. We're going to take a brief at ease. All right, we're back on the record. Next up, we have SB 230 before the committee. This is the second time this bill is before the committee. Though we've recently dealt with a number of bills relating to different permitting and cabins programs in the state. Following feedback from those meetings, as well as the previous meeting on this bill, we've worked to create a committee substitute we believe would address the core issues facing Alaska trappers with regards to their cabins. And with that said, I would entertain a motion, Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate Resources Committee adopt the committee substitute for Senate Bill 230 Resources, version 32-LS1624/B as our working document.
Thank you. I will object for the purposes of discussion. We have Mr. Inti Mayo-Harbison. Please put yourself on the record and walk us through the changes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate Resources Committee. Once again, for the record, Inti Mayo-Harbison, Senate Resources Committee aide, staff to Senator Reback. Before you today is a CS that would address some of the concerns raised during the last committee meeting regarding the previous version of the bill, version A, particularly if the bill went far enough to meet the needs of Alaska trappers. The changes from the previous version A to the current version B being considered are as follows. Page 1, lines 1 and 2. reflect a title change that expands the title to more broadly include trapping cabins on state land as well as the fees associated with them. Section 1, page 1, line 14, removes language referencing AS 3895-075B as well as 3895-080F and replaces it with AS 3895-080G. Section 2, page 2, line 8, repeals and reenacts this section to allow for the construction as well as the use of trapping cabins on state land. Section 3, page 2, line 17, repeals and reenacts to clarify who qualifies for a permit and when the commissioner shall issue a permit. Section 4, page 2, line 27 is amended to specify that the director shall establish conditions in which a permit shall be issued and further establishes restrictions on those conditions established by the director. Section 5, page 3, line 25 is amended to clarify that the state is not disposing of the land that is being permitted and that the permit does not establish a preference right for lease or purchase of the land. Section 6, page 4, line 4 adds new subsection establishing that the director may issue multiple permits for the use of a trapping cabin if the current permit holders agree, and further clarifies that the department may not charge additional fees for the use of, or construction of a trapping permit under that section. Section 7, page 4, line 10 is amended to clarify the definitions within the bill, and Section 8, page 4, line 17 repeals Alaska Statute 3895-075. And I'm available for any questions, and I believe we have somebody from the department as well online.
Thank you, Inti. Do we have questions from committee members? Yes, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just want to make sure I understand everything the CS does. In the repeal and reenact of 080A, I think it does away with the requirement that the person have an established trap line that they use regularly. No, so is that deleted or is that relocated to B? I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I just need to make sure.
Through the chair, I believe that that section is still within the bill. Section 3 provides, or Section 3, subsection 3, provides proof and acceptable to the commissioner that a person A has established a trap line of sufficient length to justify the need for cabins construction and use. And so I would look to the department to see if they have the length that that trap line must be within regulation.
Thank you, Inti. Christy Collis is online. Christy, could you please put yourself on the record?
For the record, this is Christy Collis, Division Operation Manager for the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Mine, Land, and Water. Through the chair, Senator Keel. Yes, the length of a trapping cabin or justify a trapping cabin for the length of a trap line, we have that in regulation. We work fish and game most of the time also to have all of those different parameters set out. So we feel that the language that's provided in this current bill suffices our needs for having that information.
Follow up. Thank you. And Ms. Cullis, the way this is drafted, an application would have to meet both A and B to be permitted. Is that correct, or is it either or?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, yes, this would be something that they would need both, because basically we're looking at A kind of outline the different types of cabins. Is it going to be a new cabin or is it an existing cabin? And then the other qualifiers that you have to be 18 years of age, possess a valid trapping license, and then also have a proof of acceptable trapping, established trapping experience or needs.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman. And thank you, Ms. Collis. That helps. If it's both A and B, then we're not accidentally opening something up that Senator Majicki is going to have to fix 50 years from now. I guess the last question I had, the repeal of 075, I think that was the old cabins, right? Those are the pre-84, pre-86 cabins. And if I remember the fiscal note right, there are just a few of those left. By repealing that section, what happens with those cabins?
Through the chair, Senator Keel. So we've had situations where a statute gets repealed and we continue with that authorization until it expires. And then once it expires, we would then authorize it under 3895.080. Since that is the old, you're correct, that is the old statute, and that is very difficult for us to administer at this point. We have cabins that currently exist on state land that are not owned by anyone, or maybe they want to get out of the business, and so somebody wants to come in and get a trapping cabin permit with us. Well, we don't have a way to authorize that existing cabin since the parameters set out in 075 are so restrictive. So by repealing it, we have more flexibility in this new statute to authorize those existing cabins. But those cabins that are currently authorized under 075 will continue, and then we would issue them under 080.
Follow up. Thank you, Ms. Chairman. Thank you, Ms. Cullis. If they then get authorized under 080, are they subject to the size limits? And do these old cabins meet that, or is somebody have to tear them down?
To the chair, Senator Keel, good question. Yes, we do have them follow the size requirements. Of course, we will try to work with individuals. Most of these cabins aren't usually above the square footage. I guess I haven't seen a time that we've ran into that as an issue. And if they would be able to modify, to maybe reduce the size to meet the statute. So far, I have not seen that issue come forward, though.
Follow-up.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I guess I don't know. I haven't been to the cabins. Don't know how big they are. Hopeful that we're grandfathering pre-1980-something cabins effectively. If the bill sponsor is satisfied that they are sufficiently grandfathered, I'm okay.
That certainly is the intent. Ms. Cullis?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, that it would be our intent as well. We have no desire to take away people's cabins if they've had them since prior to 1984 when this statute was established. Most of them would qualify. Like I said, I'm unaware of any that don't. Most of the cabins that were built even under the 075 statute were within that square footage limitation that we have listed under 080.
Your bill. Do we have other questions? All right, we're going to take a brief at ease. All right, we're back on the record. This bill has a referral to finance and a fiscal note, so it does have another committee. We are confident that we've made it clear it is the committee's intent that those pre-existing cabins are grandfathered in, and we'll work with the next committee of referral to make sure that we have belts and suspenders. All right, any other discussion, questions? Gripes, complaints. All right. Seeing none, I would entertain a motion. Oh, I remove my objection. Okay. Yeah, I remove my objection. And so SB 230 version B is adopted as a working document and is now before the committee. Do we have any further discussion or questions about the bill?
I have a motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that committee substitute for Senate Bill 230 Resources Version 32-LS1624/Bravo be removed from committee with attached committee fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Are there any objections? I don't think I have another one. Seeing none, version SB 230 Version B is moved from committee with attached committee fiscal notes and individual recommendations. Please stick around to sign the paperwork. Thank you to the committee members for being here, for your attention. Thank you to the committee staff, as always, LIO support staff and Senate pages who help us with the committee. We appreciate your work. Our next scheduled meeting will be this coming Monday, May 2nd, 2022, and we will post the schedule at the Senate Secretary's office and distribute it to committee members as soon as we can. And this meeting is now adjourned at 4:15 p.m.